I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com.
That was fantastic, sister. There you go.
I know you wish your dad could have heard you tonight, and I think he did hear you.
In fact, I'm absolutely positive your dad heard you.
Sweetheart, look in those back doors right there. And ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming home one of the United States Navy's finest, Chief Petty Officer, Alan Hughes.
I just could not believe my eyes. I had missed him so much when he was gone, and I never realized quite how much until I saw him.
I walk out, and that's when I look up, and I see an angel on the stage with a violin.
We're back again with Matt Rogers, host of Coming Home, whose second season premiere airs Sunday, March 11th at 10 p.m. on Lifetime Television, right here on the TV Time Machine. Now, Matt, in order to pull off some of the amazing Coming Home surprises on your show, you have to go up the chain of command sometimes, as we'll hear in this clip.
So let me make sure I understand, Matt. You want us to put Chief Hughes on an airplane, fly him across the open ocean today, so that he can get back to reunite with his daughter Holly tonight?
I know that's a lot to ask, sir, but yes, please.
Well, Chief Hughes is an exceptional sailor, and I know he has a very special daughter at home, so we will, in fact, make that happen.
Yes! Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matt, how closely do you guys work with the military on this program, and what is the type of coordination that is required in order to reunite the men and women of the military with their families?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, there's two sides to that story. There's the truth, what really happens, and then there's the way we play it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth doesn't make for a very good TV show.
Right.
The truth is, we have producers that work in offices that call all the military units and say, hey, we're doing the show. Which military family would like to participate in this? And we get a bunch of submissions. And then we find out when they are actually coming home or a couple days before. And we coordinate it to where we're literally not pulling our soldiers out of the fighting and bringing them home. Does that make sense?
'Cause right.
I can't just call somebody up right now and say, hey, you know, we have a soldier on the front line. I need to bring him home. Like, the military doesn't do that. So we try to coordinate everything with them really when they're really supposed to come home. And then we keep it a secret from the – we always have an accomplice. We keep it a secret from the kids. If it's the kids, then we have mom as the accomplice. If it's the mom, then sometimes we work with the kids or a sister, brother. So that's what really happens. And then in TV land, we kind of make it to where – you know, dad's going to get off the ship early and come home, which has only happened a handful of times. But for the majority of the time, we coordinated around the military because as much as the military have big hearts, they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to win a war. So, you know, pulling a soldier out isn't on the top of their priority list. The only time a soldier can really come home from being deployed is if, you know, God forbid there's a family tragedy or something like that. So...
Now, how do you choose the stories? How do your producers choose the stories on Coming Home?
You mean the families or the stories?
The families.
The families on the first season was extremely hard because nobody knew who I was, really. No one knew who the show was and what we were doing. And it is very, very hard to get in, so to speak, with the military. So the first season was a struggle, and we kind of went with what we had. I mean, we literally only had those families that you saw. We didn't have an overflow of submissions. And then after the show aired, and now everyone knows, now the military has basically given us carte blanche because they know that we're going to do them proud and the families proud. So now we've had thousands of families submit. So they go through a pre-screening process. When does dad come home? What are the kids like? What do they do? And, you know, they match everything up. Like, you know, we need you know, we need a certain amount of families here that do this. We need a certain amount of Navy guys, a certain amount of Marines, a certain amount of Army. And Marines are very, very hard to bring home. It's very tough to work with the Marines, not for any other reason except, like, you know, these guys are constantly in the thick of it.
Right.
And there's not very many Marines. Army, there's a plethora of guys. So Army has just been phenomenal to work with, as well as Navy. And we did one Air Force story this year. So, you know, that's kind of how we pick them.
Well, another heartwarming moment on coming home actually occurred on freezing ice during a hockey game when you disguised an Army sergeant as an NHL goalie, surprising her stunned husband during a slapshot contest. Now, he didn't know that his wife had just returned from Afghanistan, as we'll witness in this clip.
Your wife, Tracy, she is a sergeant in the Army right now in Afghanistan.
Hoo-ah, absolutely.
How long has she been deployed?
Just over a year right now.
Just over a year right now. She's been in Afghanistan for over a year.
I just wanted to throw my gloves down and tear my helmet off and run to my husband.
You love her a lot, don't you?
With all my heart.
Well, you went 0-3, but the good news is you still win a prize. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, in an early return from Afghanistan, our goalie and Josh's wife, Sergeant Tracy Whedon!
Matt, what was that moment like for you?
Hold up, Jim. I got to wipe my face. Hold up. Let me grab my golf towel. I got to wipe my face real quick. All right. There we go. What was that moment like for me? I had so much fun, as you can tell in my voice. I mean, God, if you put me in a sports scene with the military, it's like a perfect storm. I mean, you put me on a football field, a hockey rink. I mean, oh, it's just fantastic. The moment was, it was magical. The guy had no idea.
You can tell.
The best part was, oh, go ahead.
You can tell.
Oh, yeah. The best part was, it was a guy that hasn't seen his wife in a year. And it was actually longer than a year. She was gone for like 14 months. But, like, I love my wife so much, and I can't stand to be a part of her for a day or two. And when I'm on the road for a week, it's like I haven't seen her in a year. So to actually not be able to see her a year, and on top of that, you know, she's a photographer or something, so she's on the front lines taking pictures of war. So, I mean, she's in the stuff, you know what I mean? So to be worried about your wife, he had no idea. And the best part was she was like a super athletic girl. So we dressed her up as a goalie. He took 3 shots on her as hard as he could because he had no idea it was his wife. So he's unloading these hockey pucks, and for anyone who knows what a hockey puck feels like, I mean,
yeah,
there's a reason hockey players don't have teeth,
right?
And it's because of the puck.
Right.
And he's just manly, as hard as he can, boom, just taking shots at his wife, and she blocked all 3 of them. He went 0-3, so it's like, hey, dude, congratulations, your wife's home, but yeah, she's better than you at a lot of things I could see. There's a reason why she's the soldier and you're the homemaker. It was really cool.
And if you're going to do something like that, doing it in front of a hockey crowd, I think, is like the most intense thing you could possibly do because, I mean, hockey fans are just unbelievable.
Oh, they were. To be a part of that, I mean, I felt like I was in the game. That, like, literally banging on the glass, going crazy, just... The place went completely crazy. It was pandemonium. Everyone was banging on the glass. I thought the whole place was going to cave in. Like, the only thing that I've really, and I witnessed this when we did the Raiders episode too, is the only thing that makes people go more crazy than a football game is watching a homecoming right in front of them.
That's
and
right.
It was 1,000 times louder than when that hockey game was the Nashville Predators and they were playing the Detroit Red Wings for first place. And the Predators ended up winning to take over first place. And the homecoming was 10 times louder than the guy winning the game shot at the end. Like, it was unbelievable.
Matt, what is the hardest part of creating a successful reunion? Is it trying to preserve the surprise element?
Well, now it's changed. In the first one, it was, you know, in the first part, it was like holding it in, like, I know something you don't know. You know what I mean? And
right. And
crying with the mom, knowing the whole time that her husband, you know, was down the street at the hotel. You know what I mean? And having those conversations. This year, it was harder to basically lie to the kids, like, you know, hey, I wish I knew when your dad was coming home, when I really did.
Right.
And the hardest part now going forward is going to be, you know, disguising myself, because exactly. The 90% of our audience is military families. So
exactly. If
I show up on the scene, it's like, hey, you're the guy that's supposed to surprise me.
Right, right.
You know? And we ran into that with one of the kids this year. We filmed with the Sesame Street game with Elmo and in Sesame Street. And the kid recognized me. He goes, you're the guy from Coming Home.
Oh, boy.
And I go, yeah. And he goes, and I'm looking at the producers like, dude, don't you pre-screen these people? Isn't this, like, not supposed to happen? So he goes, you're the guy from Coming Home. How you doing? Oh, my gosh, I love your show. All the while, his dad's gone, so it's kind of like it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why
right.
I'm here.
Exactly.
Thank God the kid's 8 years old, and he'll believe anything an adult says. So I say to him, yeah, buddy, I do that show. I do a lot of shows, music shows. And he goes, what are you doing here? I go, oh, you know, this show's called Deployed. And we're going to talk about what it's like when your dad's deployed. I'm lying to this 8-year-old kid, but
well,
it was for the better of the, you know, the whole gamut of things. So he was surprised at the end still. But, you know, like I said about the mistakes in the beginning of our episode, yeah, I'm a compulsive liar on this.
Hey, Matt, what other projects are you working on at the moment that you can talk about?
Well, it was funny because I can't talk about that, but I really
okay.
want to. I have some shows that are in the works that are coming out. I just sold the TV show to a production company, and I'm very excited about that. It's a reality game show. And another show is a game show that I'm working with the creators of this, Relativity Real, that should be on Game Show Network. Really excited about that happening. And then also when I'm home, I mean, to be honest, I'm basically out of work right now. I mean, you know, when you don't have something going on, when you're not filming, you're unemployed. So,
right. Like
I said, I'm a businessman. My wife and I, you know, we constantly work hard, and we need to make money like the next person. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're just on TV. You make a bunch of money. That's 100% not true.
Right.
And my wife and I are working on, we promote a 90-day challenge, a health fitness challenge with a company called Visalus. And it's our business. You know, we're distributors for this company and promoters, and we get after it. Last night I had a challenge party at my house, what we call it, and on a Sunday night we had 100 people at our house because the timing couldn't be better for people to take fitness seriously. I mean, you're watching people drop like flies from heart attacks and cancer, and it's what we're putting in our bodies. So it's something my wife and I are passionate about. And
do you have a website that people can go to
yeah,
find
absolutely.
Out more?
Yeah, it is. Hold on, give me a second. But, I mean, it's time for people to start taking their health seriously, and a lot of people know that. So it's a... It's http://RogersInc.myvi.net. RogersInc.myvi.net. So RogersInc.myvi.net.
Hey, Matt, after being involved in Coming Home for the past two seasons and meeting the many men and women of our armed services and their families, what are your thoughts?
My final thoughts are just gratitude. I'm so thankful. I mean, there's one side of me that thinks that the truth is they could have picked 95% of the TV show hosts out there, and this show still would have been great. So I'll never be as boastful to think, like, I'm the one that brings the soldiers home. Because the truth is, I mean, you could put Ricky Schroeder, Mario Lopez, Ryan Seacrest on this show, and it would still be powerful because of the basis of the show. So I'm eternally grateful for that to Lifetime and to Tom Foreman for choosing me. I mean, it is a blessing to be a part of this. And I also just want to thank the families. I mean, it doesn't do justice to say thank you to a military person in the airport or in a restaurant, but it means a lot to them. I mean, that's one thing that I've gotten from them is how much it does mean to say thank you. And when you're in an airport, to buy them a $7 sandwich when they're standing in line, or when you're in a Starbucks, buy them their $4 coffee. It's like, dude, these are the people that are really keeping our country, you know, keeping us safe. You know what I mean? So going out of your way, and the one thing I try to do, and I'm not trying to brag here, but this is just the God's honest truth, is that, you know, when you're on TV, they fly you first class and on this show and stuff. And I precisely try to look for a serviceman or woman who's on my plane, and I love to give them my first class seat and not tell them it was me. And just to watch them know that, hey, someone appreciates me. Because I don't want them to know it's me, because it's kind of like, oh, okay, I get it. You're the guy. I don't want to do that. I just want them to know that there's someone out there that appreciates them and that'll treat them first class. Because the truth is, they're about to go from a first class flight and eating nice shrimp salads and peanuts and ice cream, and they're going to go lay in a ditch and eat a RE, you know, RE, whatever they're called, REM pack or whatever. That food sucks.
It does.
So that's the stuff I do. I'm just very, very grateful and humbled, and I don't take it for granted one bit.
Matt, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past. This is Jim Benson. Join us again next time as our magical transport takes us on yet another journey exploring television's past, present, and future. You'll find your next adventure right here on the TV Time Machine.
I'm coming home where my heart is all